Hallelujah.
Come on, this is the first time Pastor Art's got to preach in front of you guys in about 3 months. Get excited in the house.
Let me just open up the scripture. It has nothing to do with what we're going to share this morning. Okay? I don't think. Okay. But I thought this scripture here just a minute ago. You guys are always in our hearts, in our prayers. Many of you, you all, and I say many of you, all of you, are constantly moving in our heart and our mind to pray for. Often throughout the night, okay? Often early in the morning, waking, praying for people. You don't even know people are praying for you. But not just I, but there's people here, all of this ministry, who are praying for you, okay? Mrs. R does a lot of praying, and I know our family does. And many of you out there do a lot of praying. But I'm going to read this scripture here. This is a powerful scripture in Philippians 1 and 6. Philippians 1 and 6, or 1 and 3, I'm sorry. This is Paul opening to the church at Philippi. And this is his absence, but writing this letter, this is what he says. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Even when I'm not there with you, I thank God when I think of you and remember you. And throughout this virus or this pandemic, and we were dislocated, disjointed, we had no idea who was listening. We got people who said, well, we're joining in the broadcast or the internet, on Facebook Live and on YouTube and streaming, but we really didn't know who was and who weren't. And there were some people who didn't a lot. But regardless, we were absent from each other. And now that we're blessed that we can come back together, there's great gratitude I have for that. And listen, I can, over the years, I've weathered all kinds of storms. I've preached in homes before where there's two or three people. I've preached where there's two or three people in a house. I've preached in jails and preached in prisons in different places. I've preached in revivals all over the country. And then I preached on the radio, and I preached where there's nobody in the room but me and the microphone and the Bible and the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit there with me, helping me visualize who I was ministering to. And it is a blessing to be able to sit here in person and minister to you in person. Okay, I mean, we've been preaching and ministering here to just very few people, just the crew, work crew here that was working on the broadcast and the music and stuff. But the thing is, it is an awesome thing to be able to preach to a room. Now, I know there's a lot of people absent this morning for whatever reason, and some of them because of the virus, and some of them people just not here, Memorial Day weekend, I guess. But I'm gonna read that again. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer and prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that a powerful thing? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, I may need to rely upon you a little bit. And I know there's other people here in the medical field this morning, but I was awakened this week with something startling in my spirit. Not scary, but something that caused me to give attention to what was being said. So when I got up that morning, I wrote it down. And this is simply what it was. Jesus is our cure. See, some of you missed that. You missed it. Because we often look for cures in other places. We often look for antidotes. We look for serums. We look for antidotes. We look for the answers in many places. And listen, the gospel of Jesus is not complicated. God didn't make it complicated where you couldn't be able to understand it, where you wouldn't be able to reason, wouldn't be able to grasp it. God made it simple so you could understand it. Listen, I don't know, really, I don't know scientists and researchers all over the planet, not just in our country, all over the planet, are rushing to find an, is it an antiviral? Is that what you call it? Come on, help me out.
You mean a vaccine?
Okay, a vaccine. Okay, help me out. Are they really looking for?
Well, I mean, if you mean a cure.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. So what are they looking for?
Something that'll make it go away.
All right. They're looking for an antidote, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking for something to give you, to cause you to be immune, have an immune system. Listen, I'm not a scientist. You got to help me out, Lee. I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. Come on, tell me, what are they really looking for?
If you're talking about a vaccine then.
That's what I'm talking about.
They're looking for a vaccine.
Okay, well, come on, Jenny. You listen, you're just like me. You're not much details. Come on. Sometimes.
I don't know what you want me to say.
I'm saying if we got a COVID-19, what are people looking for? What are scientists looking for to help this, with this? What are they looking for?
Well, some people are looking for a cure. Some people are looking for a vaccine to prevent it.
Okay. All right. That's good. So some people are looking for a cure, and some people looking, I didn't want somebody to just trust me. I'm looking for somebody a little bit more medically, or a lot more medically in tune than I am. Because I read these things and I really don't understand a lot about what's going on, okay? There's a lot of things being said out there. How many knows there's a lot of things being said, okay? There's a lot of things all over the internet, all over the news. There's a lot of things. But the bottom line is they're looking for a cure, right? They're looking for a cure. Listen, they've been looking for a cure for a lot of diseases for a lot of years. There are people who have years and years researched and looking for cures for cancer, certain kinds of cancer. There are people looking for cures, and even though they make great progression, for diabetes. Come on, help me out. Are you here with me today? People are looking for cures for what removes us from the earth. Because there's a desire in us, a natural desire to want to live. We don't want disease. Is there anybody with me here today? Maybe if you want disease, okay, you'd not be inclined to lift your hand. How many doesn't want to get a disease? Raise your hand. Be real. You say, well, I want to go to heaven. Yes, you do. But you may not want to go today. Can I be real? Yes, I want to go to heaven. When this life is over, yes, you want to go to heaven. Anybody with me?
Yes.
I want to go to heaven when this life is over. When I fought my last fight, I won my last victory, I want heaven to be there. But until then, I want to be as alive as I can be and make a difference and make an impact on the world that I live in. In order to do that, we got to do it with an amount of health. We got to do it healthy. Now, today the Holy Spirit's going to take something, if we could. And, hey, brother, could you take that cross right there and just lay it down here, right here in front, okay? So, and just lay it flat down right there. We see this every day. We see this every day. Yeah, just lay it maybe up right like this. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate that. Can everybody see that? And I want you to look in the Bible with me, to the book of Numbers. I want you to look in the book of Numbers. You know, and I'm going to say something, and you're going to say, that's the preacher's escape. That's the preacher's way out. When he don't have an answer, he just says Jesus is the answer. Can I say this again? Listen, Jesus is the answer. He's not just one of the answers. He is the answer. I want you to turn to somebody and say, Jesus Christ is my answer. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I may mess with you a little bit, but it's because I love you, okay? So if the Lord gets in your grill, don't get mad at me. Say, Lord, I need to move up. Amen. I need to move up. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 21. There's been all kinds of scriptures moving around in my heart. I thought I was going to do something in Ezekiel, and Lord, now, Lord willing, I will at a time, sometime, when the Lord sees necessary to share that word. But I want to look in Numbers chapter 21, and I want to look beginning. We could do the first three verses, but we'll look at verse 4, beginning at verse 4. And if you can, and you'd like to, you can stand. That's not honoring me. That's just his word. That's just a point of honoring his word, a reflection of his word. But guys, we're getting ready to open the word of God. We're getting ready to open the word of God. We're getting ready to open the book that's got your answer. How many need some answers today? Oh, come on. Are there real people here? How many need some answers? How many's got family members that need Jesus today? How many's got sickness in your life or in your family? How many's got things going on you need an answer to today? Well, listen, we're getting ready to open the book that's got your answer. Amen. Everybody shout amen.
Amen.
I need a word. Oh, wow. Woo, woo, woo. I'm excited. I'm excited because we've got the answer. The world doesn't know the answer. The world doesn't have the answers. They're looking for the answers, but they don't have the answers. But you know what? That's why the world is looking inside of what they relate to as having the answer. They're looking inside the church. I'm not talking about a building. They're looking at the inhabitants of the building, which make up the church, that have the answer. If you're here today and you know the answer, how many today will give me a shout and say yes? Amen. Because you know what that yes was? Jesus. I know Jesus, I know the answer. I may not always look to the answer, but I know he's the answer. He's the answer. Hallelujah. Numbers 21. Lord Jesus, you're going to have to strengthen me. I haven't even started today. Okay, and when they journeyed, and they're talking about the children of Israel, and when they had journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Now, in the first previous three verses, and then we'll read this. Let me go ahead and read that, and then I'll give you a backstory real quick. And the Bible said, go around the land of Edom. It was a very long way. COVID-19 and quarantine has been a very long extended time. Anybody agree with me today? It has messed up, Cassie, your normality. You know, I don't know if you hang out with your friends all the time. You probably do that way. But, you know, some people may do that. But it's caused a major inconvenience, and it's been very difficult. We give it that, okay? It's been very long drawn out. It's been very long in the way. they journeyed around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged because of the way. The way was hard, and they became very discouraged. Discouragement will do strange things to you. It'll cause you to think thoughts you didn't know you could think. It'll cause you to react in ways that you didn't know you could react. It'll cause the flesh to rise up in you. It'll cause weakness to be strength, to be your strength. It'll cause that weakness to be your strength. Discouragement does a lot of things to a lot of people. And it's the one tool, and I've shared this different times before. It's the one weapon the enemy uses that's more successful than all the other weapons and tools that he has. It's called discouragement. Discouragement. There's, even though there is a glimmer of encouragement because of breakthroughs, there are things that discourage people's heart when it comes to the search for a cure for this COVID-19. And verse 5, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. When you are down and discouraged, you'll do one or two things. You'll either talk out against God or you'll talk out against his men. Or let me backpedal that. When you get discouraged, you're either going to talk out against God, or you will talk out against the servant of God, the man of God, the woman of God who carries the word. We all want to blame somebody, right? We all want to blame somebody. But David said, Lord, search me. Search me and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And if there is, lead me into the way of everlasting. When I got problems, I can't blame my problems on you. We can't blame them on the church. We can't blame them on leadership. We can't blame them on the president. We can't blame them on the Congress. Okay, let me get back. Reel us back in, Lord. So they become discouraged by the way, and the people spoke out against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up here out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and no water. I'm going to say there was food and water. God gave them food. He provided for them. Oh, but when we've had beans for a few days, Lord, I'm tired of these beans. We've had fried taters for a few days. Oh, Lord, I'm tired of these fried taters. We've had rain for a long time. Lord, I'm tired of this rain. God gives us sun. Lord, I'm tired of that sun. God sends us friends, and then, friends come into our life, but Lord, after a while, Lord, I'm tired of those friends. God sends us powerful word by the word of God, by the servant of God, the man of God, and we hear it for a while, but Lord, I'm tired of that word. Okay, they become very discouraged, and they cried out. They said they had no food or water, and their soul loathed, detest, in other words, this worthless bread. That's what they said, God. The bread you're giving us, Lord, is worthless. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. You may be seated. Thank you for being patient this morning. We're not going to be very long, and you're hearing. So this morning, I want to say to you this morning that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is your answer today. He's the antidote. He's the antidote. He's the one. He's the healer. He's the healer. He is the Lord our God. He healeth all of our diseases. He heals all of our infirmities. He heals all of our sicknesses. He'll wash away all your sins. Not some of them. Not a few of them. God's the answer you need. Amen. Oh, if I could just find my answer. Surely there's a bottle out there somewhere that's got an answer that I need in it. Surely there's something out there that I can take, that I can need, that I can help me. Listen, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medications. I'm not saying that. That's not what I just said. But today, if we're looking primarily to man for the answer that Jesus is, will never find the answer in all of that. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Do you understand what I'm saying? Say amen. Isaiah the prophet said this way in Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Amen. Amen. By Jesus' stripes, by his blood, I am healed. Amen. Amen. Wow, think about that. Isaiah 53:6. Upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. Amen. Upon him, him who knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. Jesus became our antidote. Amen. He became our anti-serum. He became our remedy. Amen. Woo. Are you with me today? Yes. Amen. Somebody by this time ought to be getting a hold of this right now. Amen. If I could only find the cure to what's going on in my life. You're in the right place at the right time. You're in the right place at the right time. Oh, I remember what John said in the Word of God, in the book of John chapter 3, the same chapter that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And in that scripture, about 14, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up to you. And John 12:32, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. You know what we need today? We need more of Jesus and less. We just need more of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the cure. He's my cure. He's my antidote. Because I was bitten one time. I was bitten one time. And I had the sentence of death upon me. You got to remember when when we'll talk just a little bit about that. But there were a lot of problems in the camp of Israel. One great camp problem in their camp situation, that there was murmuring and unbelief. There was murmuring, unbelief, and ingratitude. Wow. You know what the answer to downness is? It's to be more thankful for what you have. Amen. If I could just get more, I'd be happier. No, you wouldn't, because that's not your answer. The answer is Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout Jesus. Jesus is who you need. Amen. Oh, if I could just get the right man in my life, if I could just get the right woman in my life, I know I'd be a better person. You know what's going to make you better? It's Jesus. Everybody shout Jesus. Now listen, I don't want you to get mad at me and quit writing me, okay? Or throw something bad at me. God knows that we need companionship. He knows we need fellowship. He knows we need family. He knows we need relationships in this earth. God is mindful of those things. But God wants you to understand first that if He is not your first answer, it won't work. I don't care where you look, where you go, or what you find. And the Bible said there is pleasure in sin for a season. You can find a little pleasure in a lot of things. There are people that drink and party and all those kinds of things, and they'll find a little pleasure in that. Isn't that true? There is earthly pleasure in that. Somebody will find something that'll give them a high, cause them to escape temporarily from a problem that's potentially lethally going to take them out, and they're looking for that answer in that antidote, in that thing that's going to cause them to escape. Listen, you don't need to escape, you need healing. Amen. The reality is we all need Jesus. That's what this nation needs to see. The reality is we need Jesus. Oh, if we could just get the right president in there. Wow, he'd make decisions. We'd have how many presidents have we had? I'm a history teacher and don't even know that. I forgot. Okay. We've had several presidents. How many knows we've had presidents? Some are good, some are not so good. Some can do good things, some can do not too good things. But they're all men. The answer I need is not found in a man. The answer I need is found in a God who loves me, who cares for me, who seeks me out. Now, he can use men. How many knows that God can use men? He can use men. So the children of Israel, because of their sin, because of their murmuring, because of their ingratitude, and because of their unbelief, God said, "Shoo, I'm getting tired of this." And he sent among them fiery serpents. Now, listen, back to the decades and centuries, people have used paintings to describe these snakes as on fire. They weren't slithering on fire snakes going through the desert, burning up. That's not what they were. They were a venomous, very venomous snake. There's biblical names for them, but you know, people believe that it was a certain desert viper that carried a powerful venomous bite that could be lethal and was lethal. And then when it injected its venom in you, it set you on fire. They were in a heap of trouble because there were snakes everywhere. And some of you I know love snakes in here. Some of you are probably cringing by looking at that snake. How many knows that when the woman was beguiled in the garden, she was beguiled by a serpent? How many knows that? But we picture that serpent as being a slithering snake at that moment. He wasn't. He could have been very attractive. He could have sold his bill of goods with a very attractive very attractive, very luring sales pitch. And he could have changed his countenance. But we do know that he walked. And so he saw Eve near the thing that God says, don't touch that. How many knows you're going to touch the thing that God said not to touch? How many of your children have learned lesson after lesson after lesson? Don't touch that stove. And as soon as you tell them, when mom's not there, ow! Mom, I just burned my hand. I just told you not to touch the stove. How many's ever found themselves in trouble because of doing things that God told you not to touch? Is the Lord getting real today with you? We need an answer. We need an antidote. We need a serum. Oh, these people, they complained, they murmured, they had unbelief, they had unthankfulness and ingratitude in their lives. And God said, I'm going to send fiery serpents among you. And many of them were bitten, and many of them died. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. You know, life is hard sometimes. But I'll tell you something that makes it more hard. It's called sin. Oh, you don't want to preach about that anymore. Oh, no, no. Pastor, don't preach about that. Preach about something that's going to make me feel good. What's going to make you feel good is getting the answer to what's taking you down. Then you can feel better. How many knows having the answer and having the cure will make you feel better? God's about restoration and recovery. God is about that. We can't understand. There is a sin problem. There is a sin was pronounced upon us. And Paul said it in this way in the book of Corinthians. He said the disobedience of one made many sinners or many unrighteous, but the obedience of one made many healed. Amen. You see, there is sin, but there's an answer to your sin. You don't have to die in your sins. You can find the cure. You can find the cure. So here they were being bitten, and God gave Moses a strange remedy for their problem. And they begin to cry out. They begin to cry out. And I think there's an image I have on there somewhere. And this is what God told them to do. He said, Moses, I want you to get a pole. Come here, Damar. I want you to get a pole. I want you to get a pole. Now, some people today look at that image and they'll say, that's some kind of a cultish image. Oh, listen, I'm not done here yet. And you've got to get a hold of what I'm going to talk about here today. Now, the medical field, you tell me if I'm wrong, the medical field uses this emblem for doctors and nurses in the medical science. Is that not right? It's a serpent, and some people didn't even know what that was for. Some kind of serpent upon the pole. That must be something bad. That must be something bad. Let me tell you, a serpent is something not good. Let me tell you. Luke has been bitten by a venomous serpent. Are you here, Luke? Amen. Where did you get bit? In the stomach. Did it burn? Did it hurt you? Did you start getting dizzy? And what did you do? probably wasn't a good thing, Sister Teresa, to run down a mountain after you've been bit with a snake. But did you get help? Okay. Did they do something? Did medicine do something for you? Did doctors do something for you? What did they give you? Okay, a drive-by. Oh, you messed my story up, man. I wouldn't want you to lie, but no, I don't want you to do that. Because we're preaching about sin, right? I don't want you to do that, but what I would have thought, and we all know that, if you get bitten by a venomous snake, then they have an injection called an anti-venom serum for your bite. And as fast as they can to your bite or your injection point, they give that to you to counterattack what has bitten you, because poison was released into your system. How many knows that poison from a snake can be released into your system? And if you don't get an answer soon, your lights are going to go out. There are some poisonous vipers on the planet can bite you, and within seconds, your lights are out. What was it? Yes. That's one of the most venomous snakes in the earth today. His injection is very lethal. And if you hadn't gotten an anti-venom serum, then your lights are going to go out. You're not going to live. Listen, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. You'll say nothing's happening right now. But listen, payday is someday. And if you don't find a remedy to what has bitten you, then eventually that will take you out. Listen, I hear stories every day how addiction will take people out. Anybody here with me today? Will it take you out, Holly? And I don't mean to call you out. Will it take you out? Will it take you down? Will it root everything out from under your life? Will it destroy your joy, your purpose, and the plan that God has for you? Yes, you'll know that. And it's not just injecting things into your veins, but it's also ingesting alcohol into your body, trying to drown away what's hurting you inside. What I'm saying, what hurts you is something deeper than what it looks like your outer issues are. What is hurting you is a dysfunction, a sin issue in us that can only be fixed by Jesus. Amen. Oh, Amanda. Wow, how thankful I am for you. Oh, Amanda, how thankful I am. And look how blessed you are. You've got all your precious family around you today, supporting you, because Amanda needed a cure. She needed an answer. Oh, she needed an answer. And she came to Jesus. And today, because of what she did with her faith in connecting to Jesus, receiving him as her anti-venom serum, wow, today she is alive and alive forevermore. Alive, alive. That's the best life you can live. Don't let the devil trick you and say you're not living if you're an old fogey Christian. Listen, there may be some old folk Christians that need some an injection of joy and love and peace in their heart, but I know what Jesus will do for you. He's the cure for what hurts you and what ails you. Amen. You're not too tired, are you? I'm going to keep you there too long. Wow. Stay with me just a minute or two. Okay. Oh, so they had a, they were bitten. They were dying. We have a planet dying. We have people that are dying in dysfunction and in chaos and sin. And we're looking everywhere. Well, if I could just live with my sin. Oh. Oh, you don't want to live with your sin. You want to give your life to the one who cures your sin. You don't want to live with your dysfunction. You don't want to play around in your dysfunction. You want to get rid of what's taking you down. You'll say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I do. I've been there. I know what sin's done in my life, and I know what sin has done in other people's lives who affected my life in a very negative way. And I know what that sin in my life has done to affect others. Oh, and we need a remedy. We need a cure. Everybody say, we need a cure. Yeah. Listen, I don't know what a real true remedy for COVID would be, but if I'd say you could put monetary value on it, I'd say there'd be an astronomical amount of money put upon that. I hear somebody studying to be a doctor. So, you know, if they haven't found it by the time you got your doctor's degree, and who knows, maybe Jenny will get it one day or whatever. But maybe if somebody will stumble on it and say, wow, this is the cure for COVID-19. Listen, you'd be the most famous person in the world. It's like the person who had the vaccine for polio, the person who had the antibiotics. Infections at one time on this planet took millions of people out. Do you understand that? There were more people died in the Civil War from the complications of their wounds than the very wound itself, because they got infection, gangrene, and they ended up dying because of that infection. They just didn't have the cure. But can I tell you, there's a cure. There's a cure. There's a cure. Turn to, let them be in your family, okay? Turn to somebody, give them a knuckle bump and say, there's a cure. Now, can I say something to you? In the morning, Monday morning, if the Lord blesses us, and somebody between now and Monday morning came up with a foolproof cure, I'll guarantee you we would know what would be on the headlines in the morning, right? If we could read the news headlines, who's a real spiffy, creative person right now? What would be the headlines? Come on, come on, come on. You all sleeping on me. What would be the headline on the newspaper? What would be the headline in the news? Come on. All right. Do what, Jake? Man finds cure, or the world rejoices. You know what, the other day? I won't say who, but there was a political figure in this country, and I understand this to a degree. And they were talking, somebody was testifying how God had helped them and that the curve had started going downhill. And there was a certain political figure in this country, well known, who said, I beg your pardon, it wasn't God that caused that to go down. It was our heroic doctors and nurses and researchers. I believe that our doctors and nurses and researchers and technicians are heroes, don't you? With me? But I know who is driving that. Amen. I know who is driving that. Do you know who's driving that car or that bus? Amen. You see how man tries to discredit God and the cure that we've always known, that Jesus is the answer? People don't want you to find the answer. And when you do, people want to discredit you and say, no, that wasn't the answer. Oh, but where would you be today? I want you to just think about this 1 second. Where would you be right now if it wasn't for Jesus? Come on, come on, help me out. Where would you be right now without Jesus? And so he said this, take this pole and put a fiery serpent. Can you put that back up on there for me? Awaken and put a fiery serpent upon that pole. And he says, I want you to lift it up. As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And when Jesus was lifted between the heavens and the earth, what he was really displaying was, I'm the answer. You're killing what you need. So, you know, when Jesus climbed up on that tree, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to rattle your theology a little bit. He became the serpent for us. He became your sin. He became your drug addiction. He became your alcoholism. He became your perversion. He became your sin. He identified with your sin so that he could be the answer to your sin. Amen. What Jesus allowed to happen was the injection of sin into his life. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus did not sin, but he took your sin upon himself to die so you would not have to die for your sin. So you could live. Because of Jesus, we can live today. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are life. Amen. Jesus is speaking. Don't worry, I'm not going to jump. But Jesus is speaking life into you. He's injecting you with an anti-serum today. You know what some of y'all do? Come running. Even that baby's falling every step I make. We ought to come running with our hearts wide open. Jesus. Jesus. The name that is above every name. Oh, the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, she came, when Jesus came by, she says, I've been bitten by a horrible disease. There's no cure. I have an issue, and I've been bleeding out for 12 years. I'm getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Sin will cause you to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And she said, I've spent all that I've had. I'm out of money. I'm looking everywhere for an answer. Listen, if somebody in your family had some horrible disease, and maybe they have, and you've looked everywhere, you've gone to every doctor, you've researched, you've gone online, you've called, you've checked with clinics, you've checked with doctors, you've done your own research, you've spent money and miles trying to find an answer for that loved one. Let's make it close home to us. If it was one of our kids, would we not want an answer? Come on, somebody get with me today. Are you real in here? If somebody had a death sentence upon them And the doctors said, there's nothing else we can do. That little woman got bad news when the doctor said, there's nothing else we can do. She spent all of her money on doctors. In fact, she didn't get better. She only grew worse. And she said, I need an answer. I need an answer. And one day, she heard that her anti-serum, her anti-venom was walking through town. Amen. And his name was Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus. Jesus. Whoa, Jesus is who you need. And she says, I can't get to him. I can't get to this physician. I can't get to this man. Oh, there's too many people around him. I can't get to him. And he wouldn't hear me anyway. I'm a woman. I'm unclean. I have no worth. I've been disassociated from my community. And listen, nobody, especially a man, especially a godly man, is going to turn around and give me the time of day. So she pressed through the crowd. How many know sometimes you've got to push through your junk in order to get to your answer? Amen. Are you desperate? It's desperation that pushes you out of bounds. Amen. In basketball, Jake, you can't play out of bounds. You can't shoot and score out of bounds unless you're Larry Bird that shoots one of those famous falling out of the bounds shots from out of the goal and shooting it over the top of the backboard and going through the net. Some crazy shot like that. But most of the time, you can't do it out of bounds. But this woman was willing to go out of bounds in order to reach her answer or cure. And she says, if I can touch him. Somebody said he could cure anything. Somebody said he even raises a dead to life. Wow. Somebody said that he walked upon a troubled sea one night. Somebody said he caused the lame to walk. And he touched a man who was blind and he saw again. Somebody said he healed a leper. 10 of them, in fact. Oh. And one came back rejoicing that he was healed. Jesus can do anything. If you can believe, anything is possible to you. Say, my miracle is right now in front of me. Amen. What you're looking for is in front of you. It's not back there somewhere. It's not some future way out there somewhere. Your answer is right here today. And the one who died for you, if I could touch him, she reached through the crowd. She was stepped on. She was pushed down. And she reached through the crowd. Her faint little weary hand, her discluttered colored face, her weak body from being anemic, from losing so much blood, pushed and fought her way through that crowd. And she said, there's my answer. Why do we look for the answer everywhere except where it really is? Why do you think it's so hard for you to get to Jesus? Can I ask you a question? Why do you think it's so hard for you to stay connected to Jesus? He's our lifeline. He's our lifeline. He's our answer. The devil doesn't want you to know the answer. He don't want you to receive the answer. And she says, I'll touch him. If I could just touch somewhere on his body. And she saw that tassel, that little hem hanging down on his garment. Just a small thing. She reached out and her faith made contact. Instantly, she got an injection of anti-serum. And the curse was reversed. Amen. How many knows that the curse has been reversed? Amen. Oh, you, I don't believe some of you got that. Because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. You and I were cursed to die. Die a sinner's death. To die is a rebellious sinner death. We were cursed. We had the sentence of death. We had been bitten by a venomous viper. But Jesus took our venom. He took your pain. He took your sicknesses. He took your sorrows. He took your dysfunction. He took your addiction. He took your family problems. He took all those things that have tried to wreck you and ruin you. And he became the curse for you. Jesus became the curse for you. It was a shame for someone publicly to hang in front of an open audience to die that death. Jesus took your shame. You say, I'm so ashamed for what I've done in my life. Yeah, there's a lot of things I'm ashamed of too. Anybody here real with me today? Have you ever been ashamed of anything you've done? Maybe not. Maybe you've been goody two-shoes all your life. I don't know. But we've all sinned and we've all come short. We've all messed up in our lives. So when you find the answer, quit looking at somebody, down at them, because they don't know the answer yet. That's your department. You live hope in front of them. You live the answer in front of them. So he become the curse. We're closing. This is what Moses said. And everyone that looketh upon that pole and that serpent, that brass serpent, that bronze serpent, everyone that looked upon that serpent will live and not die. Tomorrow, I want you to lift that up. Somebody said that really we've made idols out of the cross. There's religions today says you shouldn't have crosses. I give people crosses, they throw them back at me. And they say, I don't believe in that. Jesus is not on that cross. No, he ain't on that cross. He ain't in the grave either. Amen? And since he's not in the grave, you don't need to be in the grave either. Quit acting like you're dead. Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. What are you acting dead for? We ought to be the happiest people on the planet. COVID or no COVID, we ought to be the most rejoicing people. We ought to be the most excited people on the planet. People will come to you and say, I want what you got. You must have the answer. You must know where the answer is. And everyone looked upon that pole, we're closing, lived. And everyone who comes to Jesus, I want those to come today. We're going right up to the water. And we're going to bury some dead people. Where's the dead people? I was dead and now I'm alive. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but now I've been made alive. I'm not dead. Are you dead? If you're dead, you need to poke somebody and say, get you an injection, amen. The answer is found in the one who died on the cross. Not the cross. It's not the pole. It's the one who died for us. The one who was lifted up for us. He's still the answer. He's going to always be the answer. That's not going to change. Today, let me tell you, I love you. And I battled hell to do this today. I really did. I had a warfare going on in my mind this morning. I asked Kathy to pray for me. I didn't know. I was just struggling in my mind, battling in my mind. Today, Jesus is your answer. And if you need an answer, you need a cure, go to Jesus. Go to Him first. And if you have physical pain in your body, go to Jesus first. Yes, go to doctors. Yes, sure. Doctors are good. Medicine is good. It has its place. It's good. It's what Kenneth Hagin said one time. At one time, he didn't believe that medicine was a cure, but he found out later on, you know, that medicine can be a good thing. But it isn't just the answer. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Jesus is going to get you through. He's going to get us through. Do you believe that? Do you believe He's going to get you through? Then turn to somebody and say, I'm not going down, I'm going up. So I want you to do something right now this morning. If we know the answer, then I want us to reach out to the answer. I want us to reach out for the cure. And tomorrow, I know you stood there a long time, buddy. And you don't have to hold that, continue to hold that up unless you want to. But this is what I want you to do. And I know that this is where we're social distancing, and that's cool, and that's good. And we're going to continue to do that. We don't want you to get freaked out. We don't want you to think that we're not following safety. But listen, God's got more ways to do something than what you could ever imagine, I'm going to tell you. So can I ask you something while your heads are bowed right now? Can you say, Pastor R., I need an answer today. I need a cure. I have problems. I have things going on in my life, and I need answers. I need a cure. Maybe it's a broken home. Maybe it's a broken life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just a continual sin problem. There's more than one kind of addiction. There's all kinds of addictions. Something that is continually haunting you. Something that's continually robbing you. If that's you here today, you say, I need that answer, Pastor R. I need that cure. If that's you, I want you to be real. Listen, if there was a real sickness in your body right now, a doctor or a research place says, I want you to go to such and such a hospital. You get your bags packed up tomorrow morning, you go there looking for it. Well, God says, Jesus said, I'm the answer. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't do those things either, but I'm just saying, Jesus is our answer. And today, He's going to ask you to take some courage. He's going to ask you to push through your circumstances and through your crowd and believe that He does, and He does have the answer. Reach out in faith to Him. If you're here today and that's you, I want you to lift your hand with me and say, Pastor R., I need an answer today. I need a remedy. I need a cure. Be real with me. Come on, be real. You know, I'm not pointing you out. I'm not coming back to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just say, I need an answer. Be real with me this morning. Can I say, there's children right now raising their hand in this room. Can you believe that, how powerful that is? How old are you? I said, do you know that God is your answer, that Jesus is your answer today? If you do, and you need Him for whatever you need Him for. I want you to be honest with me. Raise your hand with me. I want faith walk for you, speak for you right now. Just lift your hand and keep it lifted right there. Just lift it up just for a second. If you need Jesus in any area of your life, you truly, truly, truly need Him. And you know, God has spoken that into your life and your heart this morning. He who knew no sin became sin for you. He who gave his life became that life for you. Jesus, this morning, I ask you to minister grace and healing to every hand. Continue to leave your hand up if it's okay. If you get tired, just switch hands. Lord, I need the answer. I need the antidote this morning. I'm asking you right now. I'm asking by faith. I'm willing to press through my crowd. I'm willing to push through my circumstances. I'm willing to reach out to you because you're the one I truly need. People have told me I need this, I need that. But I know this morning that you're truly the one that I need this morning. And if that's you, be real with me. Be real with me. Thank you for being real this morning. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. And we're going to do this. Pastor Heath's going to come up here. There's going to be Pastor Kathy's going to come up here. We're going to sort of spread out. And I know right now we're just thinking about getting to our answer, okay? So I want you right now, by faith, if that's you here right now, we've got this whole front area, even over here beyond, around the altar. I want you to come forward. If that's you right now, you say, Lord, I'm going to push through my crowd right now. I'm going to press through my circumstances right now. I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to get myself to Jesus this morning. I'm going to get to the cure that I need. I'm going to run. I'm rolling my sleeve up, Lord. I need an anti-serum this morning, Lord. Right now, if that's you, I want you to come. One, two, three. If that's you, come on, right now. You need anti-serum. You need an anti-venom. Come on, right now. Right now. Right now. Spread out. Right now. If that's you, I want you to come. 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 People are coming right now. People are coming right now. I want you to come. Come on. Come on. You don't have it figured out. You don't have it figured out. Come on. I need the answer. I need Jesus today. I need him. I need him, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you more than the breath that I breathe. Lord, I need you more than the song I sing. Lord, I need you more than life. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. We need a cure, Lord. We need a cure. Yes, we need a cure, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We need it right now. 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 We need it right now.
See heaven in this place. I see.